Are you ready? We're going to open up our Bibles tonight to Luke chapter 13. Can you open up there with me? Luke 13. And the reason why we're talking about Fig Newtons tonight, you're like, what in the world are you doing on Lumberjack night? First of all, we're talking about Fig Newtons. What do they even have to do with each other? And you're supposed to be teaching us God's word. All right. So when you open up to Luke 13, you'll see verses 6-9 tonight. We're going to be talking about a fig tree. All right, and as we talk about this fig tree, anyone ever seen a fig tree before? You know what a fig tree looks like? Not many people probably. You've probably seen them all over the place and didn't know they were fig trees. Can you guys show that picture real quick of what a fig tree looks like? So you got to get the picture in your head because this whole story is going to be revolved around a fig tree. All right, is it up there? There's a fig tree, okay? It looks like a tree. It's got some green leaves, but that's kind of got the shape, all right? And it can get pretty big. So here's what we're going to do. I need you guys to look at Luke 13 with me, verses 6-9, and try to picture that tree as we hear what they're talking about this tree in the passage. It says this, and he told his this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, look, for 3 years now I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground? And he answered him, sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and put on manure. Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you could cut it down. So we have this conversation going on in a vineyard, right? That's where they grow grapes. And he's talking to the guy who takes care of his grapes about a fig tree that he planted in his vineyard. Okay? It's a crazy story already because you're like, why aren't you talking about grapes and why didn't you plant some more grapevines? And maybe that's the deal. Like I had a lot of hopes in this awesome fig tree I'm planting and it's taken up valuable ground where I could have grapes, but instead I planted this fig tree and guess what? I ain't got no fruit on it. There's no figs on it. I once planted a fig tree, I'll tell you that, since it's Lumberjack night. A few years back, I planted a little baby fig tree and I watched it grow just from a little baby. And as it sprung its little leaves out there, it came with a tag on the packet of seeds, and it said, "Will take 3 years to bear fruit." And I'm like, "Man, I don't want to wait that long. Like, I already wanted to like make some Fig Newtons out of this thing. I was all excited, right?" And sure enough, within a couple months, as that thing grew and put out its little leaves, it already had 5 figs on it. I know. Now this is weird. You're like, "Ooh, go ahead." Ooh, right? 5 figs! Now, that's only enough to maybe make one of these Fig Newtons, but I was pumped because that thing wasn't supposed to have figs for 3 years. And here it was, just a little sapling baby, and it already gave me 5 delicious figs, which I ate right away, and it was done, and then I never saw more figs. But that's not the point, okay? The point was, right away, that thing grew figs. Well, here's this guy expecting that after 3 years, he'd go out there and he'd see this awesome fig tree. Now, it doesn't mean this tree's 3 years old. It could have been older than that, okay? And he's just been going out there for 3 years going, hey, I'm trying to find some fruit on here, and it's been 3 years since I've seen anything. This thing's barren. Like, what is going on? It wasn't like my awesome little super tree that immediately had figs, so he's not happy. Now, you got to know something about this passage, okay? It's a parable. This isn't necessarily a true story. This is something that's being told to reinforce what Jesus was talking about. And he just got finished telling people, hey, this is what you need to do, y'all. Listen up. You need to repent. And everybody's just like, what? Whoa, whoa, whoa. That's heavy, Jesus. Like, you're telling us all just to change our entire lives, to repent and be saved. Now, I don't know about you, but if someone walks up to me and that's their message, hey, listen, you need to repent or you're going to perish and go to hell. Immediately, I kind of want to be like, whoa, or bow up and be like, who are you to tell me that? You know, I don't know if you feel the same way, but that's not the easiest message to just digest when someone tells that to you. So when Jesus is saying that, all of a sudden he flips over and he now shares this story. And he's going to elaborate so they understand what he's trying to tell them and what he's really trying to teach here. And it's about this fig tree. Now, there's something cool about bearing fruit. We see it a lot in the Gospel of John. You guys know what I'm talking about? John 15:5, where he says, I'm the vine. Jesus is the vine. And you and I are the branches if we're saved and we believe in him. And if we're connected to that vine, what do? We bear fruit. And here we see it again. And In this passage, he's saying it's a fig tree. And the expectation is that this fig tree would bear fruit. Now, it's not just any fig tree, right? Because it says a man had a fig tree. This isn't just some any old tree. He owned it. Like, this was his tree. It wasn't just one that happened to get dropped by a bird somewhere, a seed, and it grew in the wild and fought weeds and just had a rough life with no water. This was a tree that was planted, and it was cared for, and it was fertilized, and it was given water, and it was in this beautiful vineyard and had this vine dresser that was taking care of it. It had every reason to grow. Have you ever worked really hard at something to see it grow and get better? Maybe you, I don't know if you're a songwriter or a poet in the room. Any creatives in the room? Anybody? Like poetry or lyrics to songs? Yeah. And you worked really hard on it, and then you get to the end and you reread it, and you're like, oh, what was I thinking? Or, oh, you were that good? Okay, maybe this is me. I shouldn't be doing that. But like, have you ever worked on something real hard and then you step back from it for a second, get a new perspective, and you're like, how did it get worse between when I wrote it and now? And this guy's out there and he's working so hard to keep this big, beautiful tree growing and fertilized and with nutrients. And there's no fruit. It must be pretty depressing to walk out there and to know you put all that work in it. And 3 years in a row, there it is again. It's just not bearing fruit. This tree had some privilege. It had the privilege of this dude who loved it. You know, in a way, you know, there's some of those people like talk to their plants and stuff to get them to grow. Maybe he was like that. I don't know. But it says that he took really good care of this thing. So it had a privilege of having a vine dresser that wanted it to grow, wanted it to have nutrients, wanted to see it flourish and bear fruit. I have to stop right there and just think about me and Jesus, because there's such a beautiful parallel between what's happening here in my life with Christ. Because I know that I have a vine dresser named Jesus who cares about me. And I'm not just thrown to the wayside. He feeds me and he wants me to grow. He wants to nourish me. He wants to give me opportunities to step out in faith. Like Corbin tonight, to come stand on this stage in front of all you scary looking people. Right? And to tell you he's not ashamed of his faith in Jesus Christ. And to share his faith with you. Man, that's so awesome, Corbin. I'm so proud of you, bro. And because I'm looking at it right here, like, that wants to pour into us. So you know what? You and I, we have every reason in the world to be able to grow if you follow Jesus. If Jesus is your vine, if he's your vine dresser, you've got every reason in the world to grow. And it was planted in this vineyard. You know, God wants that for you. It's his plan. God brought you to this place tonight. It wasn't just because you decided to show up or because you want to wear a crazy beard or whatever else you came for. I'm not even going to try to, right? It's because God was like, I want you in this place. I don't know why. He probably has different reasons for every single one of you, but I know he has a plan for every single second of your life. And maybe tonight it's just to hear this message. Maybe tonight it's just to have a conversation with a friend outside that you don't even know yet that you're going to have. I don't know what God's going to do, but I love thinking about it because I know something. He's got it planned out. And as I look at this passage, man, it's telling me that God is looking at us like this tree and he's got big plans and he's planted us in this awesome place for us to grow. And Jesus is there. The Holy Spirit is there. And they're growing us and giving us nutrients. And then here comes God, right? It says that the owner of the vineyard, he came seeking fruit on it. He shows up one day and he's like, all right, man, it's been 3 years. I'm coming to check out my fig tree. I'm about to make some fig Newtons and I need to get my figs. And he comes up to the tree and starts looking around and he sees the leaves and he's kind of looking under him, pushing them aside a little bit, shaking the tree. Hey, one piece of fruit on that tree. He finds nothing on it. He's paying this guy over here a lot of money probably to go take care of the tree and his grapes and everything else. And he's like, bro, where's the fruit? That's why it's here. That's the purpose of this. That's the plan for this. God's purpose for your life, are you ready? Is for you to bear fruit. And he comes looking for it. He shows up and he looks and he searches your heart. And he's like, where's the fruit? I saved you so that you could bear fruit. I saved you so that you could look more like my son, Jesus. I saved you so that you could have greater faith in me, but where's the fruit? It's kind of a sombering question. If you guys were to ask yourself right now, tonight, where you're seated, ask yourself that. Think about your life and your heart and go, where's the fruit? Could you honestly, if God were to walk into the field of your heart right now and go, hey, where is it? Could you be like, hey, it's right here. Check this branch out. Check this branch out. There's some fruit here, God, and I'm growing and I am learning about Jesus and my faith is getting made stronger and I love you more because of this. And Lord, you got to hear this story. Or would it just be, well, God, like I haven't opened your word in years. I haven't memorized scripture. I haven't prayed. I haven't talked to you. I haven't really even thought about you. I've been so busy with school and sports and all these other things that I forgot about you for a while there. And he's like, but I planted you. I fertilized you. My plan for you is for you to bear fruit, for you to look more like me. So why am I not the priority? Why am I not the one that you want to see the most as I come down the road and you can go, look at my branches, I'm full of fruit. God, I can't wait to show you this. I can't wait to show you what I learned and what you taught me through this person and having that conversation. And when Jesus showed up in my prayer time and I read this in the Word, God, I'm so excited. But so many of us are satisfied just going, God, there's no fruit again this year, sorry. You'll have to come back next year. I'm empty. I want to encourage you tonight. I don't want you to hear this as some discouraging message where you're like, man, I don't have fruit. That's not where we're going. That's not where this passage is going. So before you get all hard on yourself, here's what I want you to hear. It's still his plan for you to bear fruit. That's awesome news because he's still coming down, putting some manure on you. I know that's gross, right? It's disgusting. But you get the point. Like God is fertilizing your heart. He's growing your life. Like it's not this hopeless thing. God's like, hey, I still want you to grow. There's still opportunity. Come on. Come with me. Take this walk. Some of y'all, you need to just say yes to God tonight. That's what's holding you back. I know that there are a few of you where God's been preparing your heart even tonight. And every time we do this baptism thing, you get a little bit weird in the back because you're like uncomfortable. You're like, I've been saved, but I just haven't had the courage yet to take this step of faith. I know Jesus said, after I'm saved, I should be baptized. It's my first step of obedience. I know that, but I just can't take that step. And so you've been held back. Your walk is getting held back because you're not just saying, yes, God, I'll be obedient. And maybe tonight for you, it's just taking that step of saying, Rob, I'll be baptized because I know that's what Jesus asked me to do. And for others, maybe you've done that, but there's that thing just kind of looming over that God keeps just tapping on your heart. Just tap, tap, tap every day. He's asking you, and you know, God, I know you're asking me to do that, have that conversation or step up and have the faith to respond and say yes to you in this way. I just can't, and it's holding you back. But see, God wants you to bear fruit, and he wants you to have the faith to say, yes, Lord. Yes, if that's what you're asking me to do. And that's how when he walks down that road, you're able to pull the branches up and go, God, there's fruit. I'm pumped because you put fruit in my life. Look. And that happens when you say yes. When you listen and you hear the voice of the Lord, like Eli and Samuel, right, in that story. Where Samuel was able to just kind of hear God's voice. And then when it spoke, he said, yes, I'll be obedient, God. That's what I want for you guys. That's what Jesus wants for us, is to say yes as God speaks. And to have the faith to just respond. So he can grow that fruit, right? And so he finds no fruit. And what happens is, look at after it says he found none. He looks over to the vine dresser and he says this. Check this out. He says to the vine dresser, look, for 3 years now I've come seeking fruit on this stinking fig tree. It doesn't say stinking. I added that, but I think he probably said it. Fig tree, right? And I find none. The owner had every right to be upset. You know why? Because he's the one who put the work in and the money in. When we think about God, you know what he's done for us? He's given his only son, Jesus Christ, so that you could be made brand new, just like Summer's t-shirt said tonight. You can be made brand new. That's a lot of work. That's a lot of worth. That's a lot of value. His own son died on a cross so you could go, God, here's my fruit. So you had the opportunity to actually be his child in his workmanship and say, Lord, here I am. You've done this work because of Jesus. But when he looks and he's like, there's no fruit, you know what he thinks? He's like, but Jesus died for you. I gave my only son for you. I did the work. All you have to do is respond in faith and say yes. And just like this guy's like, man, 3 years now. Listen to what he says here next. Cut it down. Cut it down. Those aren't words I ever want to hear my Lord say to me. Cut it down. Because we know he's not talking about a tree. He's talking about you and me. We have looked at God and said, I don't want a relationship with you. When we don't bear fruit. Now you got to understand something here. What I'm not saying is that fruit earns your salvation. You can't please God through that. But what fruit does, it proves that you have been saved already. You see, when Jesus does truly step in your heart and give you faith, when Jesus does restore your life and make you brand new, you don't still act and look like the same old person that you were before. Or we wouldn't call you brand new. There would be no purpose. We'd call you the same old thing. But instead, Jesus comes in and he makes you brand new. And so the fruit that comes out of being brand new proves that something happened in your heart. And now when I talk to you, I hear something different. There's an excitement in there about Jesus. There's a change in your heart. You're standing on stages where you're scared out of your mind, but you're up here anyway because you're saying yes to Jesus. And you know he matters. You're stepping in tanks in front of your whole group of peers, scared out of your mind, but you got the courage because you're like, Jesus is worth it for me to be up here, and it's scary, and I'll do it. You're up here leading worship in front of a bunch of people, and it's scary, but you're saying, God, yes, I'm going to do it because you're worth it. Stuff starts happening, and it's beyond stages and crowds. It's in the quiet of your heart, sitting in your room. It's thinking about being honest on a test or a homework assignment and how will you choose what you will do with your significant others. You guys are alone or on your phones. If you're going to have that conversation with that outcast at lunch that's all by themselves, but you're comfortable with your friends. It's in all of these different moments, small, quiet moments that no one sees just in your heart between you and God, and big moments that you'd be standing on a stage. And God works in all of them. And he bears fruit in you when you say yes in every one of those moments. It's not a time to go, man, this is depressing. That's not me. It's a time to say, God, you're offering that to me tonight? Yes. Tonight's a night to say yes. I want the fruit. I don't want you to look at me and be like, man, cut it down. You know what that means? That we've been offered a relationship. These people, this tree, has like been offered this relationship with the King of the universe, but decided not to, and so that relationship's been cut. We're no longer plugged into our life source, to God himself, who gives us life, who makes us and sustains us and gives us grace and mercy and patience and forgiveness. All that stuff, we just go, just cut it out. I lose that. I'd rather not have salvation, God. But tonight, maybe you're here and you're like, man, I've never been saved. I haven't been connected to Jesus. I don't know who that is. Maybe tonight is the night where you're like, I want to be. I want to be connected to that vine. I want to have that type of courage and power and know that I've been saved and my sins have been forgiven. I don't want to look at God and be like, man, you didn't ever accept me. So you were cut. You were chopped down. Your faith, you laid it to waste because you never responded to me in faith. And then he says this, why should it use up my ground? He's talking about the gift and the sacrifice of Jesus that's basically being wasted on those of us who never respond in faith. You know that the work has been done. that tonight, if you're here and you've never believed in Jesus, you're sitting in a place where you're not right with God. There's a God who created everything and you don't have a relationship with him. You're separated from him by sin. But he loves you a lot. And so tonight he's telling you through me and these songs and other people that, listen, there's a way for you to know this God and to be connected to him, to be forgiven by him, to be granted eternal life. And if you do that, if you say, Lord, I need that, I will follow you, you can have my life, then he does this. He takes his son Jesus, who died on a cross for your sin, to pay a penalty you deserve, he didn't. And that's not wasted. But if we look back at God and go, I know Jesus died for me, so I didn't have to, but I'd rather not. Then you've just wasted the most precious gift that's ever been offered to you. You'd rather just say, cut me down. Because I'm just wasting the ground. I'm wasting the sacrifice. I'm wasting the cross of Jesus here. So I'm better off just being tossed out of this vineyard. Plant something else. But tonight, he's calling to you to say, be planted. Grow fruit. Receive Jesus as your Savior. And so this awesome vine dresser just has such grace and patience. I imagine he has to represent Jesus in this passage because I see the grace of Jesus all over him. And look at how he responds. And he answered him, sir, let it alone this year also. Just have some patience. Just give it one more year. It's that steadfast love of Jesus, that long suffering of Jesus. And he says, until I dig around it and put on manure. Jesus is chasing you down. The Holy Spirit is all about getting your attention, grabbing your heart and saying, I'm real, I'm here, and I love you. I died for you. And as Jesus tonight, even through me and others that will speak to you tonight, he's using us to tell you this very thing. He loves you. And he wants you to receive him as your Savior so you can have fruit and know God and be made right with him. And this vine dresser is like, let me fertilize this tree. Let me put some water on this tree. Let me just keep giving it the love and attention that it needs. And he says this, it kind of makes a deal, right? He's like, then if it should bear fruit next year, awesome. Well and good. Like, it'll bear fruit, you know? It's going to grow in you and it's not a waste. But if it doesn't, then cut it down. It's like, God, just be patient. Give some grace and mercy. But listen, there is a day. There is a day. This passage makes it so clear where there is judgment for those of us who don't believe in Jesus Christ. And some of us might be here tonight and you're like, man, that's not me. I'm good. And you've already tuned out because you're like, I'm a Christian already. I prayed some prayer once. But you've heard more than once a student get up here just over the last few months and say this. I thought I believed. I said the words, but it was someone else's faith that wasn't mine. And there was a moment where Jesus did this. He sprinkled some fertilizer. He dug the ditch, put some water in, and all of a sudden, I believed for myself, and it became real, and I got saved. And maybe you're here tonight, and that is exactly your story. Mom and dad go to church and have always brought you to church. And maybe when you were little, you said some prayer, but didn't really know what it meant. But people were proud of you for doing it, so you did it. But maybe tonight God's convicting your heart and he's like, you never meant that because there's never been fruit. There's never been a change. You've been the same. And maybe tonight God's tapping on your heart and he's convicting you saying, maybe tonight you need to just have the courage, forget about what other people think about you. Maybe you'll be like, oh, these people thought I've been saved for 12 years now. That would be so embarrassing for them to find out that tonight I'm getting saved. Who cares? You know how pumped God's going to be when you look up and like, I want to bear fruit. God, I want this to be real. We're going to rejoice with you if that's you. Don't have shame. Don't be intimidated by that. Look up to God and go, yes, I'm going to respond. Lord, I want to bear fruit. It's been fake. It's been someone else's faith, but tonight I want to make it my own. Or maybe tonight you're the one who's like, man, I've just never done it ever. But tonight I feel like I want to know Jesus. I want to be saved. I want to be forgiven of my sin. I would hate for anyone in this room having the opportunity to hear these words right out of God's word, to one day hear, cut it down. And know that you had an opportunity tonight to say yes to Jesus, to meet the greatest person in all of existence who loves you enough to give his own life for you so that you can bear fruit and look more and more like him, have the power of God living inside of you. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? If that's you tonight, and you'd say this, you would say, man, I've never accepted Jesus to be my Savior, but I want to tonight. I never want to hear God look at me and say, cut down that tree. I want to bear fruit. I want to know him. I want to be able to know that Jesus saved me from my sin. And I've never done that, but tonight I'd like to know how. Can you do me a favor tonight if that's you? Would you just slip your hand quietly up in the air just so I can look at it and see that and pray for you? Like you'd say, that's me. I want to be saved, and I've never done that. Slip your hand up and say, that's me. Rob, would you pray for me tonight? Yeah, I see your hand in the back. Thank you for being honest. Anybody else? Anyone else I could pray for tonight about that? All right, now maybe you're here tonight, and you've done the walk, and people think you've been saved all this time, but there's never been fruit, and you know it. There's been an emptiness in your heart. And tonight you feel the Lord saying, hey, will you make this thing real? You've heard your peers talk about it. You've heard it preached from the word. Now tonight is the Holy Spirit saying, hey, tonight it's time to make it real. It's not your parents' faith. It's not your friend's faith or your teacher's faith. It's not your youth pastor's faith. It's yours. Maybe tonight it needs to become yours. If that's you, would you be courageous? Would you slip your hand up in the air and say, that's me. I've never done it. Yeah, I see you guys. Yeah, I see you. Lift those hands nice and high so I can see them. Anybody else? Like, I want it to be mine. Yeah, I see yours in the back. Yeah, I see you, bro. Thank you for being honest. You guys can put your hands down. Maybe you're here tonight, and this is the last group I want to talk to that we saw in the passage. You're that tree, and you love Jesus, and you know you're saved, but you're struggling. And you're struggling to bear fruit because we do. We have dry seasons and we have good seasons. And maybe right now tonight you're in a dry one. And you just need some prayer. You just need some refreshing from Jesus to throw some nutrients on you, to get you some fertilizer. You need people to surround you and love you and encourage you in your walk. Maybe you need to get back in the Word. You need to start opening up and reading it every day. Can I pray for you tonight? Can I pray and be the first one to encourage you in that? Would you just raise your hand up and say, I could use some prayer tonight, Rob? Yeah, I see the hands. Keep anybody else? Awesome. You guys can put your hands down. Listen, I know how hard that is, y'all, who just raised your hands. I know what dry seasons feel like. And you can't go through it alone. Please don't try to do it alone. That's why we exist. Firehouse is here to help you walk through those seasons. Will you please get with your life group leader or with me or your Sunday school teacher and just say that. Like, I raised my hand tonight. I'm going through a dry season. I need someone to walk me through this. We would love to do that with you. Pray with me right now. God, all these things we're talking about, they're impossible for us. Lord, we can't do it. We need the vine dresser. We need Jesus. We need the Holy Spirit to do a work in our hearts. God, give us faith. Give us opportunities to step out in active faith and say yes to you, to grow us. God, help us to open up your word every day and hear you talk to us and speak to us. Talk back to you and pray. And Jesus, will you surround us, unify us as a body here that we can grow together, encourage each other, love each other, pray for each other. We want to be a youth group that says yes. God, we hear your voice, and when you talk, we say yes. We want to bear fruit. We don't want to be cut down. Keep the lumberjacks away, God. We want to grow. We want to look like Jesus. And we need you to do that in us. Father, we love you so much. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.